episode number 377 with Noah Galloway. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to another edition and a powerful one with the inspiring Noah Galloway. For those that don't know who Noah is, guys, he is an inspiration to so many people around the world. He's a former United States Army soldier, a model, and motivational speaker. He was injured during the Iraq War, losing his left arm above the elbow and his left leg above the knee. He was a contestant on Dancing with the Stars season 20, where he finished in third place. He led his team to victory in the first season of American Grit on Fox, and he is the author of the new book, Living with No Excuses, The Remarkable Rebirth of an American Soldier. And we went in deep today. I love this guy. I love when I get to just connect with another bro who has got an athlete background and lived a great life and grew up in a great, you know, experience and had a dream and then lost the dream, right? This is an experience that is similar to my heart, where I grew up with a dream and then I lost it when I got injured playing football and I kind of lost my identity. And Noah wanted to be in the Army and he lost his identity after he got injured and went through a depression for many years. And we talked about really how to get out of that depression and some of the challenges that happen when you're connected to family members and friends who are going through some type of depression, what you could do and how you can support people in that process. We also talked about Noah's definition of masculinity and how it's changed since being a soldier and what it was when he was a soldier. It's very interesting, the two different definitions. Also, what was more depressing to Noah than losing his limbs? Why it's scarier to get severely injured than to face death for Noah, why Noah wouldn't go back to prevent his injuries if he could, which I thought was an interesting answer, and how women can help men move through any type of depression. Powerful, real, raw interview today. So make sure to prepare yourselves for some greatness. And without further ado, let's get into the show and let me introduce to you the one, the only Noah Galloway.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format helps you learn at your own pace and fit earning a degree into your life. From before you enroll to after you graduate, you'll be supported by people who are invested in your success so you can pursue your goals, knowing that help is available if you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com netsuite.com/greatness. netsuite.com/greatness. Again, head to netsuite.com/greatness.
Welcome, everyone, back to the School of Greatness podcast. Noah Galloway in the house. Good to see you, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming, brother. I appreciate it. You are one of the most inspiring guys in the world that I think. And I remember watching you back at Dancing with the Stars, season 14, is that right?
Season 20.
Season 20. What am
season
I thinking?
Season 20, yeah. They go fast.
What are they? It seems like crazy. Yeah. Season 20. Why did I say 14? But season 20, you were one of the contestants, and you made it to top three. Is that
yeah,
right?
Came in third.
Came in third. And
I came in third. That's missing arm and a leg.
Without
and
an
I
arm
don't
leg.
Know how to dance.
No arm, no leg, and you don't know how to dance.
No.
But you made it third, and there was a shot in your book where of you dancing that you said is one of the most viewed videos on YouTube.
Yes.
I'll just show it really quick to the camera so they can see it. But we'll have that linked up as well in the show notes. One of the most viewed videos on YouTube was this performance, and I remember seeing it when it happened and being really moved by your story. So let's talk about your story, man.
All right.
Who are you? What happened? And what got you to where you're at now?
Well, you know, I was in college when September 11th happened.
Oh, wow.
And
so was I.
Watching
freshman.
Those. Yeah. Yeah. So was I.
Really?
You know, and watching those horrors on television, I went for a run and decided that I needed to join the military. It wasn't a career decision. Just I needed to do my part. And that's where I made that decision, was on that run. I dropped out of college, enlisted into the Army, went through basic training, jump school, and then ended up with the 101st out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky. General Petraeus was our division commander, prepped us, and in 2003, we were the lead element going into Iraq.
Wow.
From Kuwait all the way up to Baghdad. Then after Baghdad, pushed to Mosul and took over the city there, and I found a career. I loved it. I loved my job, and went on a second deployment in 2005, and they put us in an area southwest of Baghdad known as the Triangle of Death. And it was a rough area, and every unit that had been there before us had taken a beating, and we were no different. We lost a lot of guys. And
you're 21 at this time?
In 2005, I was 24.
Okay.
I was 24, and we were on a convoy mission, just driving down the road, and I was driving the lead vehicle and had my headlights off, night vision goggles on. And with night vision goggles, you can see well, but you can't see everything. And what I didn't see was a tripwire stretched across the road. When my front tires hit it, it detonated a roadside bomb large enough that when it hit my door, it threw this 9,000-pound armored Humvee flying through the air, and it landed in a canal running adjacent to the road. Thankfully, it landed wheels down because I was completely knocked unconscious, and they said the water was up to my chest. And they got me out of the Humvee and then got me back to – we were living out of an old potato factory, and medics worked on me until a helicopter picked me up, took me to a hospital in, on a camp outside of Baghdad. Baghdad to Germany, Germany to Walter Reed Army Medical Center in D.C., and that's when I woke up 5 or 6 days later on Christmas Day.
Ooh.
And it was all news to me for my mom that I lost my arm and my leg. My left arm above the elbow, my left leg above the knee, my jaw was shattered, my mouth was wired shut. I had severe injuries to my right leg and some injuries to my hand. And it was a horrible thing to wake up to.
I could imagine. Five days?
Yeah. And unaware. It's like, to me, it was like one night. It's just, I woke up one day.
Do you remember the accident happening?
None of
it. Because it was just like blindside,
yes.
Unconscious.
Don't know any of it.
You wake up, no arm, no leg.
Yeah, exactly.
It felt like it's just a night's sleep.
Yep. And then I woke up and two of my limbs were gone. I don't know what was worse, the losing two limbs or losing a career that I'd found. So many people go their entire lives without finding that thing that they're so happy with. And I was there, and it was all taken away. And I went through a lot of depression. You know, there's some ups and downs. Like at first I was like, I'm fine. I'll do good. And then I lived in this denial for a long time when I moved back to Alabama. And one thing I talk about in the book that a lot of people don't know is I really dive into that depression and talk about those mistakes. There's an entire chapter dedicated to me spending 10 days in the county jail, you know, just because I kept putting myself in these bad situations and then trying to dig myself back up and then getting knocked back down. And the only constant I had during all that were my three kids. And they were my constant reminder that, you know, I got to keep moving, got to keep moving forward. And that's what kind of pushed me through and then led to fitness and running obstacle course races, Tough Mudders, marathons, and ending up on the cover of Men's Health, being their ultimate guy in the world's largest men's magazine. And then that led to all these other things and then Dancing with the Stars. And, you know, a lot of people that do know my story, they know of the Dance with the Stars, the Men's Health, the races. But the information I share in this book of the depression and the, you know, self-medicating with alcohol and just right. the bad decisions I made, I open up about.
Yeah, the things that people don't understand. I mean, I used to play professional football down in your home state in Huntsville, and I got injured and essentially was in a full arm cast for 6 months. I broke my wrist. They took a bone out of my hip, put it in my wrist. I didn't lose my arm, but I lost the ability to play football. Yes. And that was my identity.
Yes.
And I didn't have anything to fall back on. Mm-hmm. So for 2 years, I'm sleeping on my sister's couch, depressed,
yeah.
not motivated, not inspired, lost my identity. So I can relate in that sense of losing
yeah,
my identity.
No, that's exactly, like, that's why I want to do it. Because yeah. it is, it's like people envision what their future is and you erase that, you remove yeah. that from their future.
What do you do?
People don't know what to do.
It's miserable.
It's terrifying. It's miserable. For all of us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So how long – I was thought season 14 because it was 2014. You're on the cover of Men's Health,
yes.
right?
Okay, yes.
That's what I was thinking. So when did the accident happen?
That was Christmas of 2005.
2005.
December 19th, 2005 is when I was injured. I woke up Christmas Day.
Wow. Okay. So how long did it take until you felt like you got back into the fitness world? You kind of got inspired.
It was 5 years.
5 years.
5 years. Yeah.
In and out of depression.
Yeah. And people ask me, like, you know, what did you think about the fact when you were in your depression? I didn't realize I was that depressed until I was yeah. out of it and looked back. And I was like, wow.
5 years is a long time.
It is. I mean, that's not just physical. That's emotional, you know, and mental recovery to what I was going through. And it was very difficult to, you know, to climb out of. And thankfully, I just kept driving on because I wanted to be a better father. That's been my goal then, and it's my goal now.
Yeah. How old are your kids?
They are 6, 8, and 11. Two boys and a little girl.
Wow. Amazing. What do you wish more men understood about depression and how to manage it now that you're kind of out of it?
You know, when it comes to depression, one, it's real. I think that we've come a long way. And understanding depression, we still have a long way to go. And I think that as a man, yeah, you know, this goes for men and women, but, you know, just to talk about men, it's hard to admit that you know, I don't want to say weak, but yeah, your weaknesses, you know, and to be vulnerable and honest and to open up and say to somebody, I need help. Mm-hmm. You know, we as men, we take pride in, like, I can handle this, I can take on whatever, or you don't want to talk about the fact that I can be an emotional and I'm okay with it. I talk about it in the book. There's a part of the book where I talk about watching The Notebook and I admit to crying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause it's like, hey, I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
And I want to put it out there. And I think that one thing I found that once I could be open about my emotions, like, I'm not walking around, you know, just crying all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that just makes it weird. But I found that, you know, I went through where I had a lot of anger because that was displaced emotions. And once I found that I could be, you know, it was okay to be emotional,
uh-huh.
you know, and I am okay with my boys seeing that and right. my little girl seeing that it's okay. Well, I'm not as angry as I used to be. If that makes any sense. It's not, you know, I'm not bottling up one emotion and it coming out as anger in the other. You know, it's having control and knowing that, you know, sometimes you do get mad and sometimes you do get sad. You know what I mean? And to know how to control those. Mm-hmm. And that's what I found. And as men go through depression, it happens.
Yeah.
And it's not a weakness. It may feel like it, but it's not.
What advice would you give someone who feels like they lost their identity or got fired from a job or their career ended or they went bankrupt?
Well, you know what?
They're
I'll tell you.
Through this transition and they're feeling depressed. What advice would you give
them? All right. So I use this example for veterans a lot. You know, if you end up getting injured and out or something happens and you get out because I found a career and it was taken away.
That you loved.
Yes. Now, I loved my time in the military. I am proud of it. But it does not define me, and I'm not going to live it every day. I love to call it, and I've coined this phrase myself. If someone else is using it, they've stolen it from me, the Al Bundy effect.
Okay.
Al Bundy scored 4 touchdowns yes. in a single football game, and if you remember Married with Children, that's all he talked about. That's the yeah. only experiences he had where he dominated,
yeah.
and then he stuck miserable, selling shoes, unhappy, because he lives off that one moment. Be proud of that, but that's a chapter in your life. My military service was a chapter in my life that I am proud of. Mm-hmm. But since then, I've started other chapters. You know what I mean? And next, there'll be another chapter mm-hmm. and another. My right. story does not revolve around that one. And that's what I tell people. You know what? It is hard. You know, when something's taken away like that, it's hard to bounce back from. But you know what? Be proud of what you did. And especially if you were good at it, well, then say, all right, well, I was good at that. Now I'm about to be good at something else.
Mm, yeah. What about like a daily action or something that people can do when they're, again, when they retire or something happens, when they lose their identity, what could they do on a daily basis to remind them that, like, hey, this was something that's great, but now I get to move on.
Well, you know, I tell people
easier said than done.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Took you 5 years, took me 2 years. Yeah. You know, all these.
Well, you know, I think the biggest mistake that we tend to do to ourselves is we make these grand goals that we have. You know what I mean? And we try to make that leap immediately when it's made in little steps, you know, those small attainable goals.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to do. You got to say, all right, well, what's the next plan of attack?
Yeah.
You know, what am I going after now?
That's it.
And what do I need to do? You know, and I've told people, I don't care, you know, what it is you find that you enjoy, you do it. If you love crocheting, we'll be the best crocheter
right out there.
You know what I mean? But what you probably need to do is first learn how to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And start working from there.
Sure.
And that's what it is. It's like, hey, sit down, write out a plan, what you want to do, the kind of things you enjoy, and then start working towards those.
Mm. Now, I read somewhere that it's scarier for you to get severely injured than to face death. Is that right?
It was, yes. When I deployed, every time I deployed, I accepted death, and that was okay. That was my job, that was a possibility. And I always felt like I was going to retire an old man in the military, or I was going to die in combat.
Wow.
And, you know, that was where my mindset was. And to wake up in the hospital, career over and not dead, I was that in between, that limbo with an injury. I couldn't handle it. Now, that was then. Now I'm 34, be 35 this year, got three kids, my life's in a different place.
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't want to die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got a lot I want to do, and I have a lot that I want to teach my kids and see my kids do. I'm not that young soldier anymore, but I was. At that time, that was the mindset I had.
Crazy, man. Why did you love being a soldier so much?
You know, I've always liked excitement and adrenaline. And nothing's more exciting than when bullets are flying at you.
Not more exciting or scarier, yeah.
But
I'd rather play football.
Yeah. But it was, you know, it was this, you know, growing up, I've worked landscaping, construction, worked in a plant. Like, I always looked for these tough jobs to make me feel manly.
Right.
And nothing felt more masculine than living with the locals, you know, and being in a combat zone than that. There was one day I was on the... It was a two-story building, and the roof of their buildings are flat, with a little wall, you know, because it doesn't rain there. It's not worried about, you know, that. And I'm standing on the roof, don't have my bulletproof vest on, my flak jacket, and don't even have my, you know, my blouse on, the long sleeve shirt. Just me, you know, T-shirt on, pants and boots. And I'm standing there, one leg up on the wall, and I'm just overlooking this village, you know. And I'm like, you know, I mean, I could have been shot at any moment, but I had this arrogance to me where I was looking over this village like, I can help you or I can destroy you.
Wow.
You know, that's the mindset I had. I
kind felt like the God complex.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Like, I was king of the jungle.
Wow.
And it felt great.
Sure.
And it was just an incredible, and I loved it. But then also I enjoyed working with the locals.
Yeah.
You know, getting to know them, you know, whatever they needed, trying to figure that out. Like, it wasn't all just me trying to be this, you know, tough guy all the time. I enjoyed being part of something and just, you know, even regardless of what the grand scheme of things were, with the war in Iraq, that I don't get into, but my moments that I had, I enjoyed.
To connect with people.
Yes, and I found that again a couple of weeks ago. I went to Honduras to a really poor area, this city, Berlin, that's known as the Forgotten City on this mountain, where there's just, it's a horrible, poor place. And to go and be there and working with the locals, like, that was the same feeling I had, where I felt like I was accomplishing something.
Amazing.
It felt so good.
What was your definition of masculinity when you're...
When I was in?
Yes.
Taking the most dangerous job possible and living it like there was no fear at all. Even though you felt it, you ignored it, and you went on anyway. That, to me, back then, was that's what a man was.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel like is the definition now?
Now, a man who is not afraid to admit his failures and mistakes and show his emotions. You know, I could meet a guy that, you know, has had a motorcycle accident and, you know, just completely just broke his hand and popped it back in place right there, like, and talk like, you know, I just popped my hand back, whatever, and ran a couple miles to go get help, whatever. I was like, wow, that's incredible. But I'm pretty sure it didn't go that way. You know what I mean? That, to me, is trying to hide something.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, no, if that's what happened, that's fine. But, you know, don't be afraid to say
how it
was the most painful thing I went through. This was like, it scared the crap out of me. I didn't know what I was going to do.
Mm.
That's real. And then be able to show emotion. I have had conversations with people. I give a lot of speeches, and there are certain things I've talked about, and emotion hits me talking about my kids, and I just feel it. Now, whether or not they see it, I mean, I know there ends up being a little quiver in my chin or something, but that when I talk about my kids, it means something to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid of that.
Yeah.
And that's what I think being a man is now.
That's great. Do you feel like your masculinity has been, have you ever felt questioned your masculinity since you've lost an arm and leg?
Oh, yeah. That was part of, like, that was one thing that I struggled with a lot after my injury. I thought I was helpless. I got, after I was injured, there was a divorce and I rushed into a second marriage. And,
after you got injured, then you got divorced.
Yes. And rushed into a second marriage.
Was it because of the injury or was it because of your
injury? No, we were falling apart. Actually, when I joined the military, she took a back seat. You know, my concentration was my job.
Right.
And so it started falling apart. Yes. So it was already discussed. And then I got injured and it was kind of, and we went ahead and split up. And then I rushed into a second marriage. And I remember one day trying to open something. And Tracy, that was my wife at the time, she came and opened it for me. And I was like, it's not supposed to be that way.
Mm.
You know, I'm supposed to be doing that for you. And it bothered me. It really upset me. But, you know, as time has gone on, like, I don't worry about those things anymore. There's other things I do that, you know, still make me feel like, you know, I'm the man. I still do things. I can still care for somebody. But if I can't open a pickle jar, I'm not going to sweat about it.
You're not worried about it anymore.
Yeah, but it did. It really bothered me.
So how did you learn to let that go? And what do you do now to feel like you are?
You know, I'll tell you, you know, now, like, I feel like, you know, when I was on Dance with the Stars, I was with Jamie, was my girlfriend for a few years, and I proposed to her on the show.
Wow.
But then since then, we've split ways, and we're still in contact. We're good friends. But we thankfully realized it wasn't going to work before we got married.
That's good.
But when I was with her, like, I made sure to do things. Like, I always opened the car door for her. You know what I mean? Whatever it was, you know, and that's the kind of person I am now. Like, yeah. I go out with somebody, I want them to feel taken care of.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm not taking away from their ability to do it on their own. I was raised with three strong-willed sisters that are very successful, and I respect that. But I also know that I can treat a woman a certain way, and that's what makes me feel like a man, is to make sure I'm doing what's right by them.
Mm. Even if you can't. Open a jar.
Open a jar. Yep.
Got you.
I have no problem saying, will you open this
for me? Hey, babe, can you open this for me? Yeah, yeah.
I want to enjoy this pickle right now. Yeah.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game, or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
What are some things that you used to enjoy that you don't feel like you can enjoy as much on your own right now?
You know, that's hard to answer because, I mean, there's not a lot that I went for a while where I was constantly trying to weigh out what I can do, what I can't do. And I've learned to just not overthink those things.
Right.
You know, there's certain things that are different because I miss my arm, my leg. But I'm also for a while I was uncomfortable taking my leg off. If I went to the pool, took the kids to the pool, I would sit back and just leave my leg on. And not get in the pool. And now I don't mind. I'll take it off and I'll hop across that pool deck like it ain't nothing.
Got to get in there. Yeah. Swim around, man.
Yep. Yep.
And what was it like? Now, did I read that your father lost his arm as well?
Yes. When he was 18, he was working in a plant and a machine malfunctioned, squished his left hand, and he ended up losing it. And my entire life, he's had one hand done construction.
One hand.
Yep.
Not the whole arm, but one hand.
Nope. Yeah. One hand below the elbow. And that was a lot. Like we bonded after I was injured, more so than ever.
Wow.
Because he was able to tell me things. And then there was this part of me where I was like, you know what? If he did good with one arm, I'm going to do twice as much missing an arm or leg. And it was good, you know, to have someone to tell me the kind of emotions and the things I would experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because the doctor could tell me, but I would also think, you don't know the real life.
Right.
Yeah, what it's like to actually experience it. And my dad did. So there was that aspect of things. So it was really good for me.
How has your injuries affected your capacity to care for and protect the people in your life the way you had done before you had the injuries?
That's a really good question. So I always felt like the protector, the only brother with three sisters, you know, whatever it was, relationships, I was the protector.
Right.
And after I was injured, I felt I'd lost that. Like I was not the protector anymore. And it was, you know, something that, you know, there's just all these things that really made the depression really hard to come out of because I felt like, you know, well, I'm physically unable. And then as I got back into shape and working out and then running these obstacle course races and doing all these physical activities, I have been in gyms and been able to, especially like I love kettlebells. And I've done things with kettlebells, you know, that other people with their one arm couldn't do. And I started to notice that and see that I'm still that strong guy.
Mm.
And, you know, suddenly I went from, you know, feeling that I didn't have the ability to protect to now I'm not Bruce Lee out there. Like if something happens, I don't know, you know, but I don't have that fear anymore. Mm. I walk with a little more pride. That because when I was going through my depression, people would see me and they'd ask if this is a war injury and they felt sorry for me and they just really felt bad for me in general. Then after I got back into shape, people would see me, ask if it was from the war. They felt bad about that, but then they make a comment about the great shape I was in. And that's something I take pride in because I meet people all the time that have all their limbs and in horrible shape.
Yeah.
So I was able to use that to help build myself back up.
Right.
You know, I may not ever be a cage fighter.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like if I have to, I can protect those around me.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or whatever needs to be done.
Sure.
And because I see these other people that have no injuries, and I don't think they could do that.
Mm. Yeah. So how did Dancing with the Stars come about? Because you got to cover Men's Health. I mean, how did that come about first?
So,
that probably helped launch the thing.
Yes. Men's Health, making that cover, they got a lot of attention from that magazine. I was veteran and amputee to ever grace the cover of Men's Health. And I was asked to go on Ellen DeGeneres. And I had someone say to me, you go on Ellen and you're set.
Right.
And I had no idea what that meant.
Absolutely.
You know, but I was excited that I was asked to come on her show. Well, I did Ellen's show.
2014, right?
Yep. 2014. And immediately the phone started ringing. Survivor called me.
Wow.
They wanted me to come on. I thought, wow, that'd be so cool to go on Survivor. But then it's like X amount of weeks, no contact back home.
Yeah.
Even if you get voted off, you have to stay with the production crew. Oh. And I was like, thanks, but no thanks. I have three kids here in Alabama, and I can't do it. Another show called, turn them down. Then Dance with the Stars called, and they said, do you watch the show? I was like, well, I've heard of it. I've never watched it. And they're talking about it, and they said, you know, if you do it, we'll put you in a house in L.A. For the duration of your time on the show. And I said, you know, sorry, can't do it. I have three kids in Alabama. Can't be away from them that long. So I had an out. And without hesitation, Dina Katz, the executive producer, said, not a problem. Your dancer will come to Alabama and you will rehearse there
Shut
and fly
up.
Back and forth
no.
to do the live show. And I was like, crap, I guess.
You have to do it.
I guess I'll do it. You know,
wait, so you stayed in Alabama.
Yeah, and rehearsed every week.
And it came in once or twice a week? Was it once a week?
We'd come in about Friday or Saturday we'd come in. Then we'd prep for the show, you know, Saturday, Sunday, and then do the show on Monday, and then Tuesday morning head back.
No way.
And then the show, you don't take a day off.
It's every day.
Yeah, train. The days that we would fly from L.A. to Alabama, you're rehearsing into the evening and at night.
In the morning and
yeah,
night.
And then because I was at home, I remember one day I went on a field trip with my son, and we were at this farm all day. I'm texting Charlie, like, I'm sorry, like, we're still here. She's like, not a problem. We rehearsed all night that night. You know what I mean? Because it's like you got to rehearse. You have to
every
get it
single
down.
Day. Yep. For how many hours a day?
Oh, we would – I mean, it would vary. Like, we would put – towards the end, we would start – Charlie and I would start at 8 in the morning. I'd have somebody bring me lunch in the rehearsal studio. I'd eat in the rehearsal studio. We'd go. Somebody bring me dinner. I'd eat dinner in the rehearsal studio. We'd keep going to about midnight. I mean, that was the last.
Birmingham or where this?
Well, so the last 2 weeks, I came
here full
time. And because we were doing more than one dance.
Yeah, too.
And then it was getting more intense. And the kids understood. They were excited. They were watching every Monday night. It was awesome. Like my 11-year-old, he would watch it with his pawpaw. And I remember one night we had a dance. It was pretty emotional. And I got a text from my 11-year-old that said, I was crying. Papa was crying. Wow. We're so proud of you. I mean, it was just –
It was pretty epic. How many weeks was it?
It was 10 weeks.
10 weeks. And you made it to the last week?
Yep. We did every single dance.
And then it's down to the final three and they choose someone?
Rumor Willis came in first. Riker Lynch came in second. And I came in third. And I've met people that, you know, that were inspired by my story. They're like, you should have won. Mm. You got robbed. I'm like, no, Rumor deserved to win.
They're amazing.
Riker was amazing.
Yeah.
Look, I was not the best dancer on that show.
But you were the most inspiring.
Yes.
Probably,
you know, and the fact that I came in third, because when I did agree to do it, I thought, well, only last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know it would go the way it went.
Amazing, man. What happened after that? What did that open up?
Well, so I'll tell you, I remember, like, before we started – when we were there at Good Morning America for the announcement of the new cast, Alfonso, you know, Carlton from Fresh Prince, he had won the season before. He was talking to a group of us, and he said, you're going to rehearse nonstop. Like everything outside.
For 3 months, right?
That's it. And then he talked about how you're going to rehearse nonstop, and then when the show ends, you're going to feel like everything stopped because you were doing so much rehearsing.
And then it's like.
And he's like, but keep going. Keep pushing. And the show said, when the next season starts, they'll forget last season. So hit it hard in between.
You mean with like the press, with the opportunities?
Yeah, everything. Yeah. Whatever's coming, because they have the spring show and they have the fall season. So there's 2 seasons a year.
Almost
so you have until fall to knock it out. Well, boom, I started getting after it. People were contacting me for speaking, whatever, sponsorships. Fall comes around, the next season starts, everybody, Dina Katz, Sharna, my dance partner, are you coming to the show to see us? I'm like, I'm going to try. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm so busy now. You know, and I was able to drop by when I could. It was great to see everybody. Yeah. And then another season starts up. And then here we are going into another season, and it has been nonstop for me.
Really?
It has been amazing.
It hasn't slowed down.
It has not slowed down.
Speaking opportunities, what else have you been working on?
You know, speaking, sponsorships, tied in with Tough Mudder, so I'm running their races again. It's just been, you know, incredible to tie in Armatron Watches. They're the timekeepers for the New York Yankees. They also, you know, they're a watch company.
They're a sponsor of yours now.
Yeah,
it looks like.
I've tied into them.
It's a nice watch, man.
Yeah.
It's clean.
You know, they've been really good to me, and it's like it's been fun to meet all these people and work with them and stay true to myself, and then they want to work with me. Because, you know, when I said earlier that my kids were my priority to get out of the depression, they're still my priority. And I'll tell you what, I have had offers come across the table that my management team's like, all right, so-and-so wants to offer you this, you got to do this, and I'm looking at my calendar, can't do it. Wow. I'm doing something with the kids, you know, and they're like, well, this is a lot of money. I was like, kids are more important. And there have been times that a group wanted me to do something. I turned it down because the kids were important. Then they're like, all right, we'll do something. And if they want it, they'll
make
do
it. Work.
Yeah. And here's the thing is, the advantage I have in this in negotiating is I'm not looking for fame and fortune. I just want to be a good father to my kids.
Yeah.
And if all this happens because of it, well, then that's just icing on the cake. That's great. But my goal is to take care of my kids, and I will not turned my back on them just because an offer for some money came up.
Right, right.
And there's been people like Armatron Watches that respect that, and they want me to be that person. Mm. So once we did one contract, we signed another contract because we've become a family. Mm. They have flown my kids up and sent us to Broadway shows. Amazing. And things like that. And that's the people I want to work with.
That's cool.
You know, I'm not looking for anything big and glamorous.
Sure.
I want to work with real people because that's who I am.
Mm, I love that, man. If you could go back and change that situation.
Of being injured?
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't. You know, and that sounds, you know, corny to say.
You could be in the Army for a long time and have a long career.
I don't think I would have the relationship I have with my kids now if I hadn't have been injured. I mean, without a doubt.
Because you'd be gone all the time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. But I mean, I'd love them, you know what I mean, and try to spend time with them. But how I am with them now, and it wasn't just the injury that caused this closeness with my kids. It was the depression as well. You know, and especially when I was doing the book and looking back on that and having to put that in there, I was like, wow, I was a horrible person. Mm. And I am so glad that I've come through that. Now, am I claiming to be a perfect dad? No. I make mistakes with my kids all the day. I can tell you story after story of that. but, you know, I am doing my best, mm-hmm. you know, and constantly trying to improve.
Yeah. Do you feel like your kids helped you get out of depression?
Yes.
By them just being around? And
yeah, I'll tell you because.
Jumping on you all day.
Well, what the most terrifying moment I had was when I realized I was showing my two boys what a man is, and that's what they're going to become one day. And I was showing my little girl how a man was supposed to be, and that's what she's going to look for one day. And I realized, one, I needed to make a change, and two, I needed to make it fast because they were growing up. Mm-hmm. So. That keeps me.
She's gonna be a teenager quick.
Yes, yes.
You know, guys trying to date her real quick.
I know.
Man.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that it's not the kind of person that I was acting.
Yeah. Wow, man, powerful. What's missing in your life right now?
You know, I don't think anything is right now. Of course, you know, I mentioned that Jamie and I had split up, and that's been, you know, over a year, and I'm not the player, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not the single guy, you know, I've dated around. I am picky, and I think that the next thing that I feel corny even bringing this up, but like, I am looking for that next, you know, looking for a match, someone that, you know, to have two failed marriages and an engagement that didn't work off, you know, I did my best, you know what I mean? But it's like, I want to find that forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, it's not anything I stress about because I focus on my kids and with work.
Right.
And that keeps me going.
How do you handle those breakups gracefully or not gracefully? I mean, how do you handle those breakups?
Are you talking about the ones that have been in between?
I mean, the two marriages. And
oh, those. I thought you meant all the ones that have been in between. It's like, no, I just quit texting them.
No, with the close ones.
You know, like, I talk about all three of them in my book because they are all very critical in making the man I am today. And I speak very highly of all of them. You know, I needed them in my life in different times and they did so much for me. So I'm thankful. And, you know, those breakups happen, you know, and they're not easy. Even when you're like, you're in a marriage or relationship that is going nowhere. And even though you both know it,
it's still not easy, right?
It hurts.
It hurts.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It hurts. So it's tough to go through those. And I was just glad that I was able to, that I'm close with all of them and was able to talk, you know, highly of them in the book.
That's great.
And being honest about it.
What's your vision moving forward for your life?
You know, I'd love to say, like, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to accomplish all these things. My main goal is to continuing to become a better father. And I mean, I have, my kids are 6, 8, and 11, and they still have different stages of their life they need to go through.
Yeah.
And I love that I get the opportunity to travel all over the country and share my story. And I hope I get to continue doing that. I love that people ask me to come on their podcasts and shows and share my story. But my 15 minutes is going to run out and I'm not worried about it because my ultimate goal is being the best father I can be. And that's what I'm continuing to try to do.
Yeah.
You know, I've done good with taking, you know, this opportunities that I've had before me. I've been very cautious of how I take care of the things, you know, the success. I was lucky enough to become really good friends with Robert Hershevac on Dancing with the Stars, and he's become a good friend.
Season?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he has given me great advice on how to make sure that money is taken care of and things like that. So I'm all about just building that nest egg. If it keeps growing, that's awesome. But being a father is priority one.
That's great. What's your biggest fear?
I mean, my biggest fear would be something happening to one of my children. Like mm-hmm. that is, I mean, by far the most terrifying thing. It's, I don't even like saying that out loud, but I mean, if something happened to them, that would crush me.
Yeah. What did your dad say when you were in a coma for 5 days and he knew that you lost your arm and your leg? How did he feel?
I asked him, I said, did you ever think one of your kids would lose a limb? And he said it never crossed his mind. He was too busy worried about him losing another one. And I can relate to that because it's like people have said, you've done so good that the fact that you lost arm and leg. I'm like, yeah, but if I lose a fingernail, it's over. You know what I mean? Like I can't lose nothing else.
Right.
And it was funny for him to say that, you know, he never thought about one of us. And it just, he said it shocked him and scared him because there was challenges he went through when he first got injured. And the depression, and he didn't want me to experience those things. He tried to help me, but you kind of have to go through your own struggles.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't matter. Like I could meet somebody that is going through or about to go into depression and tell them everything I experienced and what I learned from it. And that might soften it, but if they're going to go into it, they're going to go into it. And they have to be able to want to come out of it and be able to get the help and want the help. That comes up a lot when I talk about veterans. And their situations, their mental health. And I've told people, I'm not a doctor, so I can't speak on behalf of that side. But we could have the best, you know, system out there for mental health for veterans. But if the veterans aren't stepping out and getting the help, and that goes with anybody. I mean, I reference veterans, but anybody in depression, and it's all about you have to want to get better.
What's something that a woman can do with a man that feels like they're depressed or feels like they're overwhelmed or stressed out? How can a woman
the significant other of a man who is going through depression?
Or a sister, a girlfriend,
anybody.
A mom, you know, someone who is close to the man, how can they connect with them to help them move forward in a positive way as opposed to staying in this negative cycle?
Yeah. You know, well, I mean, you want to try to guide them to getting help, but then at the same time,
without emasculating them. You know what I mean?
You know, and that's the thing. That's what I was about to say is like, if you were going through something, if you were depressed and I showed up and said, hey man, you know, I just came by to check on you. You know, I'm trying to say things to you. You're going to, whether you say it to me or not, you're going to be thinking, you're not going through what I'm going through.
Right.
So don't talk to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
you don't understand me.
Exactly. I would advise somebody who knows somebody going through something like that to, and it's easier said than done, but find somebody that has been there that they can relate to. There has to be a correlation with those two people, something they can connect with.
Yeah.
And they will respond better to that. And that person can help guide them to what got them better, you know, cause that's what I would say. And yeah, you're right. Like, you know, a male can take that as emasculating. You know what I mean? And not respond to it well. But if they can get somebody that does connect with them, you know, stranger or not, that has been where they are and help guide them, you know, out of that, that's the best advice I could come up with.
Yeah. So why'd you write this book, Living with No Excuses? Do you feel like that everyone makes excuses or is this more of?
No, it's not one of these like, you know, in your face, you need to get up and quit being, you know, a pansy about things. Yeah. No, it's more of my life and the challenges I went through and really an opportunity to open up about that depression and be brutally honest.
More therapeutic for you than anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not all about the depression. I talk about Dance with the Stars. I talk about, you know, my childhood and deployments, things like that. I like to think there's humor. I like to think I'm funny.
Yeah. You
know?
sure.
But, I wanted to do it. And when I was going through the book and writing it, and then after it was done, I mean, there were moments I'm like, I can't believe I have to share this with people. But I had to remind myself that those little moments of talking about the depression is going to help somebody. And that's what I kept telling myself, is somebody's going to relate to this. It may help somebody. You know what I mean? If somebody, like I was saying, if you can find somebody that's been in that spot, you know, if this can connect with somebody going through the depression and they see that, you know what, life sucks sometimes and you're going to be trying to move, you're trying to do better and then you get knocked back down. You have to get back up.
Yeah.
And my advice is, you know, like I talk about that one constant, my kids, you have to find that one thing that is a reason to get back up, whatever it is. Mine were my kids. It could be anything, But if you can find that reason, you'll keep getting back up, and eventually you won't have to get back up. You'll be on top.
Yeah, that's powerful, man. A couple of questions left for you. I want to make sure everyone goes and gets the book before I ask them. Living with No Excuses, The Remarkable Rebirth of an American Soldier by Noah Galloway. Make sure to go get this copy as soon as you can. It's in Barnes & Noble, online, all that stuff. And what's the main website for you? It's just your name?
NoahGalloway.com.
There you go. So you can check it out there. And social media, Noah Galloway, I'm assuming, right?
Yep. Twitter is at Noah_Galloway. There's another Noah Galloway. This kid in high school. You know what? He's awesome because he will direct people to me.
Oh, that's good.
He's awesome. I follow him on social media.
That's cool. Are you on Instagram too or not?
Yeah, Instagram. Yeah, Noah Galloway Athlete.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, awesome. That all started when I was doing all the races.
We'll tag you up on all the show notes as well for this. What are you most grateful for in your life recently?
Recently? I'm telling you, when they're my priority, they're my priority. And that, you know, my kids, I have three of the most amazing kids. Mm. They are not only good looking, they get it from their mom. Yeah. But
it's a picture of here, yeah.
They are just good kids.
Yeah.
Every one of them, great personalities, smart. They're doing great in school. Every one of them, you know, different personalities, but they all mesh well and get along well. And there are moments every day that they do or say something that I couldn't be prouder.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool. This is a question that I ask everyone at the end called the three truths. Mm-hmm. Three truths. So it's many, many years from now. It's your last day here on earth. And you've done and accomplished everything you could ever dream of.
Okay.
And you had the greatest, longest life. You've done everything you want to do. You've seen all your kids and grandkids grow up. And one of your great, great grandkids comes to you and says, okay, here's a piece of paper and a pen. We want you to write down three things you know to be true from everything you've learned that you would pass on to us. We don't have anything else we can remember you by except for these three things. What would you say are your three truths?
Okay. First one is, no one ever said life is easy. You know, we've all heard that. And I think that's true. Second one, always be honest with yourself. Because, you know, we too often, we cannot be who we need to be because we're lying to ourselves on who we think we are, who we're trying to be. The third one, take care of those around you. Because if you don't have those around you, you have nothing.
Great truths, man. Before I ask the final question, I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Noah, for your incredible heart. You've got such a big heart, and everything you do inspires others. How you've recovered, how you step up, how you give to your family, to your kids, and how you care so much about serving others. You're an amazing human being, and I just want to acknowledge you for your constantly showing up and giving and giving and giving. So
thank you.
Acknowledge you for your heart and your courage, man. It's been really cool to see what you've created since a tragic accident and how you've overcome it. It's not easy, and I acknowledge you for that, man.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And the final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Definition of greatness? Oh, man. Let's see. Greatness is setting out to accomplish and achieving a goal. You know, that greatness may not be being the most powerful and successful CEO. It might be a second grade school teacher that is working hard every year to get every one of those students to move forward in some way, you know, not looking at the class as a whole, but as individuals and getting them to move forward. You know, whatever it is, it's having a goal and achieving it. You know, it's going after it. It's having those dreams and making them realities.
No, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
And there you have it. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Make sure to share it out with your friends. LewisHowes.com/377. If you know someone who's gone through any type of adversity, or they've lost a job, or they've lost someone in a relationship, or they're going through a depressing stage of their life, please, please, please share with them this interview. I think it will support them and give them another perspective. Give them some tools and education on how to move through that depression. We all go through challenging moments in our lives, and it's nice to hear some feedback on how someone else went through it in a very dark, challenging time of losing literally parts of their body and losing their identity
but with their career in the process. Share it with your friends, lewishouse.com/377. Get the word out. Let's support Noah. Grab his book. Follow him on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere, and let him know what you thought of this episode as well. I love you guys very much. I thank you for being here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating tree houses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/L-E-W-I-S.